Welcome to selfdiscoverymedia.com, where we discover the communities that are making a difference in the lives of others. Our self-discovery is something we are all making on our life's journey. Here you will find the people that will be your guidance, that will be your inspiration, that will be there for you in support on your journey of life. Do enjoy. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Ignite Your Heart and Soul right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Colonel David Giamano. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today, but he's kind of saying the military guide to Armageddon, the battle-tested strategies to prepare your life and soul for the end of times. Does this sound doom and gloomy? Well, are we living in the doom and gloom, and can we change things around? I think that we can. You know, he says that using both military and spiritual warfare tactics, this David, U.S. Colonel, chaplain, fully equips readers to walk into the supernatural power of protection of the Holy Spirit as the world events and biblical prophecies intersect. He's served in Afghanistan. He's certainly been through it all. We're going to talk about that in the show today. But, you know, it is about what we can do right now in preparing ourselves, not just for what is to come, but what is here. And are we in Armageddon? And how can we actually raise that beautiful spiritual vibration and change the tide on things? So I'm intrigued. You know, the title in itself, you know, Armageddon, every time you hear that word, it's like, end of times. But when you look at it at the whole environment of everything that's going on right now, it can feel a little bit catastrophic, can't it, David? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I think we're going to have a great time speaking of these end time events and other things that are going around the world today.
And they certainly are going around. I mean, you cannot watch the news at any time without seeing something that is happening. And it's like most of it seems to be, Mother Nature, bless her soul, she has given us so much abundance, and we've been rather abusive with it, and so she's rebelling, and you can't blame her. But a lot of the catastrophe and everything else that's out there is man-made, isn't it? We are the ones to blame for this, so we need to find the solution.
Oh, absolutely. We are the ones that blame, and the solution is coming. And when you talk about Armageddon, a lot of people think it's the end of the world. It's not really the end of the world. It's just the beginning of a new world. So we can
with
talk
choice,
about
with choice, with the right choices. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the word Armageddon stops people in their track. You know, I mean, look at all the movies, end of times, right? And then we're going to go to another planet and ruin that. But as you said, I was given a saying about 4 years ago from the universe. The universe is here to shake us up, to wake us up, for us to step up and change it up. And then an added one added to me is to grow up, which grow up into a higher, beautiful, divine vibration, and also grow up out of our opulence and whining and entitlement. And we're still being very much shaken up, and we're being asked to stand up and change it up. And there is a wonderful Celtic rune called Haglas, which is disruption. And I think we're in that shakeup and disruption change right now, that if we cannot see that, if we don't change our ways, you know, Armageddon will be predicted as the movies do.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Armageddon is going to come, whatever we do, because it's, if you read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, and all these, it is going to come, and with it's going to come the regime. Well, I mean, if you're a Christian, you believe in the second coming of the Lord. He is going to come back and change all things and make all things new. So, you know, we're heading that direction, but first we've got to go through some extremely difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
Tribulation.
You know, a poor guy, does he have to come back and clean up our mess again?
Apparently he does.
Yes, but why? But why? I mean, there are so many lessons for us constantly given to us to change, to see what's wrong. You know, we're busy pointing fingers at politics and at regimes and everything else, and there's three pointing back at us. You know, we create this mess because we either do it through abstaining from choice, you know, choosing to live more positively and do more positive things, or by feeding into the hate rhetoric and the judgment rhetoric. And that hate and judgment is a horrible spiral, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, people ask me all the time, and I go on numerous talk shows, radio, TV, all around the world, and they're asking me why such things are going on. I said, look, mankind in his heart and their heart has always been, prone to do these things. If you look at Israel back in the Old Testament, they were always leaving God to worship idols. They're always sinning. They're always doing these things that provoke God's anger. And we're here today. We have provoked God. We provoke God. And, you know, judgment is coming to clean up our act. And frankly, you know, it's been talked about for millennia. Now it's here.
Yes. But do you think it's actually in the process? You know, like, you know, I always look at, you know, God, Father, Mother Earth. And you think they've got together and say, okay, these children are not listening. We've really got to shake it up now and give them something to really listen to.
Yeah, I think shaking is a very good word. I think a shaking is coming, is already here. Mm-hmm. But I think more shaking is going to happen in the future. And the shaking really is for our benefit to wake us up. And mm-hmm. if we don't wake up, then more shaking is going to come until it's too late. So we have a lot of things to think about and speak about here in the show today.
Yeah. A lot of people think, oh, doom and gloom, I don't want to hear about it. La, 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 la. And it's like, it's somebody else's problem. No. If you are a participant here on this planet, if you're breathing the air, if you're standing on the soil, if, you know, whatever resources you're taking, you are a part of the problem and you can be a part of the solution. This affects every living thing here on this beautiful planet. And I think a great deal of it has been, is it used to be flight or fight, right? Everybody was the enemy. They're coming to get your territory. You're going to fight for, you know, for yours. And then power and greed got into it. And we know what we're seeing now is a different type of war. We have the opulence, you know, the one percent, as they like to call them, of the power and the manipulation. And we're rather like puppeteers at the end of their strings here. And it's like, when are we going to cut the strings and say no more? You know, it's, we've got to step up, folks.
Oh, absolutely. There are forces at work on our planet that want to make this a one world government, one world power. The problem with that, and it always has been, when you get people in power, the Adolf Hitlers of the world, those, you're always going to have greed, Khrushchev, the communist, whatever. Everybody thinks that mankind can rule itself because, you know, everybody I talk to who are socialist or communist or want, you know, a one world dictator, you know, I tell them this. I said, just look at history. Yeah. And they said, well, everybody's got it wrong. And I said, so you're going to get it right this time around, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. So that's why we wrote the book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, to prepare people for exactly what is going on right now on the earth and what is going to happen here in the months and years ahead of us.
You know, when the pandemic first came out and we were all kind of isolated and locked down, we came together. When 9/11 happened, people came together, you know, when catastrophic things happen around the world, we come together. Why do we have to wait for a catastrophe to come together? I mean, the invitation has always been, please come together, because together you create that orchestra, that symphony in harmony. But divided, we don't. We'll always be at odds with each other. But why are we not getting that message of togetherness?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, Pearl Harbor happened in December 7th, 1941, and then the United States came together to fight tyranny around the world. And so, and if you look at history, every time there's a catastrophe, we do come together. So you're right, the pandemic came, but now we're fighting each other. Should we take the vaccine? Should we not take the vaccine? Who is this and who is that? And it's going to continue because there's, one aside of this is the media. The news media wants to make money off of our, our anger toward each other and toward our government or whatever political party you happen to find yourself in. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, it's not about politics for me. It's about our relationship with God, and it's our relationship with each other. And it, you know, no political entity, whether Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, is going to fix all of our problems, because it's we the people,
yes,
of the United States of America here in this country.
Yep.
It's the people.
The people of the earth, right? Yeah. I mean, every, you know, you just turn on the news and then, you know, more in the Middle East and more here and more there. And it's, you know, another bomb gone off somewhere else. And it's like, folks, have you not learned yet that killing each other does not solve anything? And that really the cleaning up your own backyard, so to speak, you know, dealing with your own issues, coming together in healing, but in the most beautiful vibration, God's vibration, that of love. And when you learn to love yourself, you learn to love your fellow man. And when you learn to step into service of one another, that's when you really build a community of love. That's where you really truly see the harmony and the healing. But why are we so thick to learn this?
That's a question that we may never answer.
I know. Do you think it's something in our genetics and genes that we've always got to go for the fight?
Oh, I think it's there. You know, the Catholic Church will say it's imputed sin, and the Protestant Church would say, you know, it's just we're born in sin. So sin really is that which is at enmity with God and with each other. And so we are find ourselves separated from each other and from God because of these things that I think they are in the genes. It is inherent. Mm-hmm. And no amount of education is going to rid ourselves. I was in the Army for 32 years. And we did suicide prevention classes all the time. It never helped, because education is not going to stop what, you know, what we're really trying to get after. And that's, you know, lack of self-harm, not harming yourself because of a incident it helped happen to you in war or in your relationship or all of that. So we have to dig deeper than that, because education, everybody's really high on education. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. But it's not going to replace spirituality and other things that we need in our lives.
Compassion. You know, I have a global veterans genre too, and interviewed many a veteran. And, they, you know, I have post-traumatic stress, and, you know, I don't want to dwell on what happened. But when I came back, I wasn't the same. I couldn't interact as the same person. And, you know, so many of them saying that, there weren't the resources they needed, because everybody wanted them just to come back and get on with life. And it's like, how can I? I'm not the same person. You know, I've got triggers, or I see things differently. You know, I'm operating on a different level. And it's they created their own resources and organizations and programs to be there for other veterans and other people, you know, suffering from that post-traumatic stress, because they understood what they needed. But what did they do? They created it so people could come together in compassion and in healing and in support of one another. And that's really where it starts. If you see it missing, come together, right?
Well, I came back from war with post-traumatic stress. I was diagnosed by the VA with it, and I went through counseling and I got help. And there's no reason to suffer with it. And the fact of the matter is, even if you haven't been to war, most people have post-traumatic stress from child abuse, from other things they've seen. Many, many people have it. And there's help out there for everybody who wants to get help. Don't have to suffer with reoccurring dreams and, you know, the agony of fear and all the things that go along with post-traumatic stress. So you're exactly right. We have created some really good entities out there, but people have to make use of them. And they're out there to help people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hand is offered, right? But if you're not willing to take the hand, you know, because what I say, all of our emotions are an indication of how we're feeling. So feel those emotions and go through it. Don't become emotional about our emotions. And we do become emotional about our emotions. We know that we the trigger of the pain or the anger, and why am I angry? I'm gonna get even more angrier. I'm angry, you know, and spiral. You're in the hurricane there. You're not gonna get out of it if you stay in that anger. It's okay to spend the emotion, but you've also got to recognize, okay, I've spent it, move on. And I think so many people are waiting for someone else to come and fix them and saying, look, these are resources for me to use to heal myself. And as you said, you know, God is always with us, and it doesn't matter which God you want to worship. It's beautiful divine energy. God is always with us. We are never alone. But when we turn in and look to that beautiful heart and soul and spirit that lies within us, that in itself is a beautiful tool for us to learn to see life differently on the outside.
Well, my friend, good friend, Major General Bob Dees, has put together a veterans ranch in Virginia, Veterans Health Organization. And he has invited everybody to come who has had problems who have been veterans. And there's a place in there for physical healing. There's a place for emotional healing. It's a ranch where you can go through all these different stages. And there's a place for spiritual, religious healing as well. I mean, I happen to be a born again Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other God. There is no other way. I mean, we may differ on those views, but the fact of the matter is the Lord is here to help us because he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. So, you know, in that whole thing, that whole village of spirituality and religion, people can come in and receive healing that they haven't got so before.
I think an awful lot of the time, you know, people feel bombarded, you know, by the press, by the doom and gloom, by the sense of Armageddon. If we look back on history, there has been some massive kind of Armageddon moments where, you know, life has changed and we've had to evolve. And nobody did it on their own. It is when they came together to survive and then learn to thrive. But it was always coming together in respect and in value and in trust and in love with each other. You know, God is love to me. And when we are stepping into that love zone, we can't knowingly hurt anyone else, because if we do, we're hurting ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're hurting the very entity inside of ourselves. And so if we could stop looking at other people and taking our discontent with life out on other people and start, you know, allowing God to come into ourselves and let that warmth and that glow and that love there heal us, we would see life through different eyes and react differently.
One of the chapters that we wrote about in our book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, was the fog of war. And, you know, when you go to war, it is very chaotic. There are many things happening on the battlefield, and it's confusing. There's all kinds of different directions the enemy be coming at you. You're going at the enemy. Mm-hmm. But it's, and we parallel that the same as life. Right now, there are a lot of people living in the fog. They don't know which direction to go. They don't know where help is. They don't know who their neighbors are. They're in a chaotic state or a foggy state. That's why there are many homeless out there, but they've just given up on life. They're in the fog of war. Our politicians are in a fog right now. The United States as an entity is in a fog. And so we tell people, if you go to the scripture, go to the Bible, it says, be still and know that I am God. And so that's the first step in really getting your healing in the fog of war, is be still. You're trying frantically to solve your own problems, and you need to get back to God and your relationship with him and with each other.
I mean, you know, being in silence is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself, because in that silence, switching off, not allowing any thoughts, you know, just what will come to you is what you need to hear. And you can't hear that divine message if you're constantly on the treadmill of life. So, you know, that's the reason for prayer, you know, the reason for silence, the reason for stillness, whether you do it out in nature or do it in a church, it is come to that silent center and feel that truth, feel that love, feel that knowledge. And it doesn't come, well, you're going to do this and this now. It doesn't work like that. It's just that there's a sense of knowingness. A sense of, I know what to do. I know how I feel. I know what I need to do to feel like this. And we don't get that when we're in constant chaos. So we do have to step out of the chaos into that silence and stillness in order to hear.
There was a number of articles written, and I've read them recently, last few weeks, that say that the greatest help healing that you can get is getting in a place of quietness. Mm-hmm. We live in a kingdom of noise, as C.S. Lewis wrote many times. The kingdom of noise is, you know, that place where everything is constantly blaring, the TV, the media, people, and you're, you know, getting bombarded with, okay, this is what you're supposed to do, or this is the self-help. But, you know, getting alone and getting away and getting quiet before God is a very powerful tool that most people don't even realize is there because they live in this noisy kingdom, especially if you live in the inner city. Mm-hmm. You know, it's constant buzzing of vehicles and noise and that kind of thing. I happen to live in the country where it's peaceful and quiet, and I'm glad for it, but not everybody gets that chance.
Right. I mean, I live in a city, but fortunately it's a beautiful city surrounded by water. And for me, trees, breeze, and water are conduits for me, you know, into, you know, the trees constantly are talking to you, the breeze constantly clearing out, you know, getting rid of old thoughts, and the water is just, you know, the way it laps against the shore, you know, is so calming. And it's like, find what is your calming. You're not everybody can just sit still and pray, you know, and it's, you know, kind of an art form that you have to learn to get to. When my daughter lives about an hour and 40 minutes away, so when I'm going down to see her and my grandson, I don't have the radio on. I just love, I'm driving through the Malahat, which is trees all around them, the lakes all around there. And yeah, you've got a certain part where it's congested with traffic, but I love just being in the silence and just allowing thoughts, allowing visions, allowing anything. Or it's the time I talk to God and just be still enough to kind of listen and learn. We've forgotten that art, haven't we? You know, and a lot of people thought, well, I'll do it on Sunday when I go to church. No, it's a daily practice.
You know, that's an interesting comment. I'll do it Sunday when I go to church. But what we need to do is take the church out of the four walls and experience church every day.
Yeah.
The Lord himself said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. Mm-hmm. And so we can take it with us. We don't have to wait till Sunday to be spiritual people. You know, we can do it on Monday morning when it's difficult, you know, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So, you know, we have to experience life in all of its abundance every moment of every day, or we're going to miss it, you know, in the long run.
You know, and I think, you know, be careful of righteousness. I go to church on Sunday, so therefore, you know, and that judgment and that righteousness comes over, and we very often, like we have seen, how many wars are based in religion. You know, it's that righteousness that I lord over you, I am superior. No, we are all the same. Some of us may be more advanced in our thought and our spirituality and in our action, but we are all equal in the eyes of God. He doesn't care who or what you are. It's just, where is that loving vibration and how are you interacting with each other?
Yeah, Jesus told his disciples, his closest, he said, people are going to think they're going to be doing a favor in the future by killing you. Mm-hmm. They think they're doing an act for God. So you're exactly right that, you know, there have been religious wars since the dawn of mankind, you know, and all through the ages, even now in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, you know, these in Afghanistan. I was there, and I was in Iraq, and I was in Saudi Arabia, and, you know, the wars continue. And so, you know, it's part of the things that are going on this planet as we speed through to the end times.
I had a gentleman on the other day that was talking about the he's interviewed a lot of, you know, the heroes that got medals, and, you know, kind of especially with the pulling out of Afghanistan now and what's going on, and, you know, was it worth it? Did you feel it was 20 years, you know, wasted? And he was saying, you know, it was the prevention of more 9/11, and it was putting in place more, you know, understanding, etc. But, you know, it comes to a point at some point where you can be there and you can help the people, but if you're not willing to help yourself, if those people can't come together and help themselves. And, you know, what you're seeing right now is the young Afghanistan women, you know, coming together, and they know they could get killed, they can get shot, they can get beaten at any time by the Taliban, but they're saying no, We've experienced that equality, that freedom, and that right, and you have no right to do this. And, you know, at some point we do have to stand up, but it, you know, we want the chorus to stand up, to be verbal, to be kind, to be respectful, to learn, to keep, to set a platform where we can listen to one another. Because, you know, I'm a true colors coach, which means that, you know, the four key personalities, and those four key personalities are perspectives of how we see things. You may say something, I may say something, we may say it in somewhat a different language, but fundamentally we're saying the same thing. And if we're willing to listen to everyone and then look at the whole picture, we'll understand there is more in common than there is apart. Why can we not find that beautiful common ground and help build together?
The people of Afghanistan, and I was in the tribal areas quite a bit, providing food and clothing and other things to them. They're beautiful people. They've been subjugated to powerful abuse for thousands of years, you know, and they have been a corridor of war from China to Russia and the Middle East. They, you know, people have marched through them, armies have marched through them. And so they, you know, they know that what it is to live in war and live in want. So, but even in the midst of all that, they still have some, still have a sense of, hey, you know, we still can survive this. They have a long ways to go. I mean, they're not, they're not perfect people. They have their abuses of women, the abuses of children. You know, there's a lot of things going on over there that are difficult things to see and watch, but it's that way in other parts of the world as well. Yes. But there are people everywhere I've gone that really have joy and, and a smile and some goodness still left despite of all the things they've been through.
Right. But isn't that what it's about? We're going through a pandemic. We're going through environmental crisis. We're going through economic crisis, you know, another crisis, and then another crisis, and then another crisis. And it's like, when we decide to look for the joy in life, the beautiful gifted pleasures, like this planet that we were given, that, you know, God gave us, why don't you dare complain? It gives you everything you need. When we can look at things in gratitude and appreciation and in joy, you know, as people say to me, well, my heart's been broken. I don't know how to open up again. And they say, go and watch the children play. Go and watch a dog chasing a stick or a ball. Go and watch nature at work, the leaves changing or the wind blowing. Go and experience the beautiful vibration that is out there of love and joy. And if it can't open your heart a little bit, I don't know. You know, maybe you've put it in an ironclad thing that would never open. But if we step into joy, we're stepping into love, we're stepping into compassion, we're stepping into God's will, which is to be there with love and joy and celebration of each other.
You know, there's a saying that I use quite often because people ask me these questions that we're talking about today. And I said, well, you know, there's only one perfect man that I ever knew that exists on the planet. And we killed him. So, you know, so there is hope for mankind, but it is not necessarily inherent in ourselves.
We're self-destructive, aren't we? We're very self-destructive.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I've seen the worst of mankind in war, and I've seen terrible, horrible things go on. So, yeah, we are, can be, and will be destructive. You know, the world is, you know, it's interesting. You see the joy of the world, and we talk about the plants and the breezes in the world, but mankind is busy building nuclear weapons to blow ourselves into oblivion still. So, you know, we have, and this pandemic is probably released by the Wuhan Valley of a lab, and it's a virus that is really a bioweapon they were creating. So, you know, and we have more of those waiting in the wings that could be released on this planet. So we have two dichotomies here. We have mankind's, the beautiful earth and the joy that we experience, and then we have the dark, deep war of spirituality we talk about in our book. And those forces of darkness and light are at war with each other.
But well, you know, I would say heaven and hell is right here on earth. We can live in the heaven of earth or the hell. And the hell is of our making. You know, the people creating these viruses, these bombs, why are they doing it? Power, greed, money. There is no consciousness in them. There is no God in them. There is no compassion in them. There's just what's in it for me, mm-hmm. right? And when we look at them, they're empty souls. And so how can we fill those souls up for them to have a consciousness? Or is it too late for them?
And for some, it's too late. Mm-hmm. I think there are people out there that you're not going to be able to help. Yeah. Richard Wurmbrand, if you ever get a chance to read the book Tortured for Christ, mm-hmm. is a very interesting journey into what you're just talking about. And I've read it in preparation for writing The Military Guide to Armageddon. And he was warning the church back in 1947, the communists were coming under mm-hmm. Joseph Stalin. They were going to take over his country. They were just under Nazi occupation. You can imagine what that was like. But he said the Nazis were Sunday school teachers compared to the communists coming in.
Yeah.
And the church embraced communism to their chagrin. And Richard Wurmbrand, you know, spoke against communism, and he was tortured for 14 years on and off in prison for that length of time. And one time he asked his captors, why are you doing this? Why are you beating me? And I won't go into all the tortures because it was horrendous.
And the fact that he survived 14 years.
Yeah, and it was a miracle. Yeah. Doctors said it. There is no other explanation but God's grace and miracle. But he said, the captor said something very interesting. He said, we don't regard you as human. You're a dog to us. So we could just do whatever we want to you. And so that is really the dichotomy of what's going on in our world. As we view others less than ourselves, and we view them as, you know, not humans, but as animals, or even worse, because I don't even think animals do this, that kind
no,
of stuff.
No, that's what I was about to say, is that so much now that, you know, the dogs are teaching humans how to be of heart, to be of love. You know, you see this more and more where, you know, we treat you like a dog. Why are you even treating a dog like that? Why are you treating every other life form like that? You know, that is a sin in my thing. Any time that you are going to hurt or kill or maim in any way for your pleasure, for your gain, at somebody else's suffering, that is sinful. That is totally sinful. And it doesn't matter what life form it is. And you look at the animal kingdom right now, they've kind of stepped up and go, God, these humans, we need to get in there and show them some love and compassion, because they're not getting it. And yeah. You look at all the other species, what did they kill? Maybe for territory, or they kill for food. But they don't kill each other out of jealousy or greed or power, right? It's why are we like this? Come on. I mean, all this genetic stuff they're doing right now, can we take that gene out of the human race?
Yeah. The things that they're doing with genetics right now is both, just like nuclear stuff, is both good and extremely bad. So we, again, are looking at, you know, the genome and the genetics of humankind and what they can manipulate. Well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these science fiction movies can come to pass, because they may create something they cannot stop in the future.
Right.
So we have to be very careful. And that's why it's really important that we have a set of bioethics.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But we don't follow them. United States, Russia, China, we have these codes, but we don't follow them.
And we don't have anybody overseeing them. The bribery, right? Yeah.
And so we're creating things in top secret right now. They have things that you don't even want to know about that can, if unleashed on the world, we'd be gone. So interesting in the days to come. That's why we called Armageddon.
Yeah.
By the way, I've been to Armageddon. The Armageddon is really Hebrew for Megiddo, Har Megiddo, and it's the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. I've been there, where armies have gone through for centuries. They have had huge mega fights. Go back to the times of Rome, the barbarians, even further back and in further up. And that's where the final battle, according to the Bible, is going to take place, right in the valley and the surrounding of all Israel. And we believe Israel is the center of attention for all biblical prophecy in the future. So it's going to be interesting to keep our eyes focused there.
Yeah. Do you think that we're really kind of on a trajectory we can't stop? I mean, you know, as the Celtic rune Haglas, you have to go for the disruption to find the clarity. Do you think that that is the only way humans learn, is just going through complete destruction, almost annihilation, before we wake up and realize we have to change?
Well, if you look at the history of inner Israel, for example, in the time they decided to way away from God and do their own thing, and every man.
Just hold. Sorry, folks, we had a little interruption there, but please, yes, do go on about Israel.
Yeah, so the Old Testament in Israel, every time they decided to go in their own way, and the reason they went their own way, they got prosperous. And when you get prosperous in the history of mankind, prosperity tends to take out the worst in us many times. Unfortunately, we get in the army, we call it fat, dumb, and happy. I mean, that's just an old phrase, but the phrase means, you know, you get complacent, and complacency can kill you.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Opulence and entitlement and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, complacency can kill you in the sense that I was in Afghanistan once, and the commander there asked me to come for a ride. They're having a convoy, and we were going into Kabul, but they were using all non-military vehicles. And we're in the middle of a combat zone. I said, look, I told the commander, I said, I'm not getting in there because we're being complacent here. We're not protecting ourselves. Yeah. We're going to get shot up. And the commander really thought about it. He got in trouble for that later on for doing that very thing. It's because we get complacent. Nothing's going on at the time. Everything's fine. So we can just do whatever we want. Well, that complacency has been a very bad thing for mankind over thousands of years. We get complacent. We get wealthy. We think our money is going to save us. We think we're better than the people and all that. And God says, no, it's not.
No, no. And, you know, this is, you know, the principles of communism in the, you know, about people being equal and sharing was, you know, kind of had a good idea that went completely wrong. And, you know, when we look at it is, you know, God, Jesus shared his bread, shared his feast, you know, and when you share, we all become more enriched. You know, my son owns a restaurant, and it was Thanksgiving here for us this last weekend here in Canada. And he hosted 20 of his staff and their family. And we've always, when, you know, when my kids were growing up, we did a gratitude circle. What are you grateful for? And we did that circle. And the beautiful thing was, my son is pure soul, which is, you know, pure heart. For him, it's like, it's not just about the clients, it's about his staff. If everyone's happy, then, you know, everything is going to be happy. And, you know, they've given up jobs that are more money to work there because they're seen, they're heard, and they feel valued. And, you know, as I said at the end of it, enrichment and abundance does not equal money. Enrichment and abundance is a heart and soul and spirit thing. And when you feel enriched and abundant in your heart and soul, the money that you need will come, but it's not the driving force.
They did a college experiment some years ago, a social experiment, where they put a ad in the paper and said, we're going to give you $10 an hour to come dig holes. So a bunch of people showed up. They wanted to make the money, and they dug a hole for the day. They said, come back tomorrow, and we'll give you $20 an hour. So they came back tomorrow, the next day, and said, okay, what do we need to do? Well, those holes that you dug, we want you to fill them up now. And lo and behold, the experiment, half the people left. And then they asked them at the exit, why did you leave? They said, because what we're doing doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fulfill us. I mean, it's just menial labor, and we're not going to.
You're right. You know, there's a
certain
value.
People that did stay needed the money, and they said, okay, we'll do whatever. But eventually, everybody left because the next day, the same thing. Okay, dig the hole again. We're going to give you $30 an hour. And, you know, mankind needs purpose.
Yes. You know? Yes. Oh, if we don't have meaningful purpose, we just, and of service to one another, we're lost souls. That's what it's about. What's your beautiful gift? How do you bring it to the orchestra? Create a harmony and a symphony that resonates out to everyone. Yes. Purpose.
Yes, I actually am a musician. I play the clarinet and saxophone and flute and woodwind.
Yes, yeah, beautiful instruments.
Yeah, it's a great instrument.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're playing in an orchestra, you can't do your own thing. Because if you do your own thing, then it's going to be totally out of place, and it's not going to blend, and it's not going to be part of what the conductor and the person that wrote the music.
Yeah.
It's not going to be part of that schematic, and you're going to be totally off. And that's what's going on right now. A lot of people are writing their own music and doing their own thing, but it's not in harmony with life and what's God's purpose for our lives. That's why, again, we wrote the Military Guide to Armageddon, because, you know, we talk about in the book assignments. You know, what is your assignment in life? What does God purpose you to do? And if you go back again to the Old Testament, he purposed some people to build the temple. He gave them skills, artists and stone masons and such. And so they all had a purpose and a place to do something, to put together. That's why they could build a huge temple, and why the Egyptians could build the pyramids and on, because they all knew, you know, what they were supposed to do, and they had a plan and a purpose. And we've lost our way down the road from many of the things that we used to know to be true.
Right. I mean, you know, when you build something, you know, my son is an entrepreneur, and he used to make a lot of money in flipping buildings and this and that, but he's always been a foodie, like from the moment he was born. And, you know, food cooking for you, and your stomach's happy, and you've got a smile on your face, and people have come together. That's always been his thing. So when he started doing this restaurant, basically it's been a 10-year thing, you know, in the building and the money that had to go into it and everything else. And he's been nearly open 4 years, pandemic opening happening. He snapped his Achilles heel 3 days beforehand, you know, just like everything happening, a breakup, the whole works. And yet he literally cried at the end of all this gratitude, because a lot of it was aimed at him. And he said, I feel the richest man, right? I feel the rich. It doesn't matter. He's made a lot more money. He doesn't make much money in the restaurant business. He's made a lot of money before. Now, no, but he feels more and more enriched. And it's because he's created that orchestra. And the music they're all making together is an invitation to everyone else, and it's feeding the hearts and souls. And isn't that so gratifying?
Yeah. Another chapter we wrote about is called The Center of Gravity, which is a really important feature in our lives that people don't even realize is there. But in World War II, you know, for example, the center of gravity, if we were going to win the war, we had to beat Adolf Hitler in Europe, and we had to get through his coastal defenses. So D-Day came, and in D-Day, we broke the back of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime, and we won the war, but we had to go to his center of gravity, everything that was supposed to happen. Once we got through there, then the war was over. And we have a center of gravity in our lives many times, you know, a center of gravity in our relationships. Mm-hmm. What is that center of gravity that pulls everything together for you in your life, that center of things? Well, for the Christian, for me and for the believer, it's Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says he holds all things together. And for one moment, if he let it go, the whole world would just disintegrate. So nothing can get by that defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to have and know what our centers of gravity is, because if your center of gravity, as we were talking earlier, is money or your career or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or anything else, eventually those things are going to dissipate and disappear, and you're going to be left like some people who are homeless. They used to have great jobs. They used to have all these things, but their center of gravity was all wrong. And so they ended up on the streets because they couldn't thrive, and they had the wrong focus in life.
We're looking for the glue. So Jesus is the glue and the compass. If we've lost, you know, the compass, we don't know how to find that sticky stuff that holds us together, right? And so often we've got this compass that's spiraling, because the magnetic is drawing us away rather than to. And if we could have that compass, and a great deal of it is consciousness, and a conscience of to do no harm, a consciousness to do things in love, to be kind. I mean, simple kindness, Gratitude, thank you, a smile, acknowledgement, a little caringness, helping someone with their shopping, opening up the door. Those beautiful, simple things are going to be your compass.
Paying things forward. If you're in line, for example, and I know people, and I've done it from time to time, sure you have, but paid for other people's.
Yes.
Hey, I want to pay for the person behind me's coffee latte or the person in front of me. And, you know, that simple act of kindness, we lose the focus that, well, I can't be kind to everybody, but it doesn't matter. You can be kind to somebody, someone.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I say to people, kind of choose your battle. You know, what is it out there in the world right now that upsets you so much that you want to see change? You can't take everything on. Nobody could take everything on. That's what God is for. We as humans can't take everything on. So we have to choose something and go, that's my dedication. That's where I'm going to put my effort. This is where I'm going to participate and contribute to. And whether it's an inch or a yard or a mile, it's whatever you can give. But the greatest gift that we can give is ourselves, with our time, with our caringness, with our heart, and with our intention.
You know, doctors take an oath to do no harm. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that. And there's a story about doctors that I really like. Dr. Robert Schuller used to be a preacher in Southern California a long time ago. And a lady came up to him and said, Dr. Schuller, my whole life, I wanted to become a doctor. And he goes, well, how old are you now? 54. And she says, why don't you start now? He says, well, I'm too old. He says, how long will it take you to get your, you know, doctorate degree? She goes, oh, 4 to 6 years more of college education. He goes, what are you doing 4 to 6 years from now? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's never too late to start what God has put in your heart and what you should be doing right now. Because everybody thinks, well, I'm too young, or I'm too middle-aged, or I'm too old, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Well, you can start being kind right now to your wife, you know, to your spouse, to your neighbor, to those down the street, to your workplace partners, even to your government.
Yes.
I know that's not a popular thing, but you know, I know you
even
Canada
to the people you
problems.
Disagree with, right? Instead of sending hate their way, send love that way. You know, I'll agree to disagree, but you know, here is the love, not the hate. You know, we've got to stop using the hate as an excuse. I disagree with you, so I hate you. You're wrong. I mean, really, how productive is that, folks? What is that getting you? What is it creating? What is it producing? Hate begets hate. Love begets love. What do you want to feed?
Well, the hate is producing money for the networks, because
they're
feeding off of our hate.
Steering it up. Yeah, for yourselves, right?
Yeah, if we can stop that cycle, if we can say, I'm not watching that, which I don't watch them anymore, very rarely, because there's too much false information, there's too many lies.
And the agenda behind
some years ago, this is the interesting story about all this. I was watching NBC News, and the news anchor was the president was speaking in a State of the Union speech. And at the end, he said, well, now we're going to dissect all the president's lies. And I thought, that's not your job. I mean, you're just creating more hate and more. And at that point, I decided that's it for me. I'm done. Yeah. You know, go ahead.
No, it's a saying that I always say is that the news takes a pimple and makes it into a volcanic eruption.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Blow it out of proportion. Steer it up. Let's get the people riled up. Oh, God, we've got them in fear now. We can control them.
You know,
how
someone
can you
asked
control
me,
the masses that get out of control? You know, let's look at the Capitol, January 6th.
many people. My internet. I think I'm back.
You're back.
Oh, it's good. So that's exactly right with what we're talking about. So people ask me all the time, well, how come I'm so anxious all the time? I said, how much news TV are you watching today? Hours. I said, stop it.
Yes.
Stop watching. And within a week or two, you'll feel much better. And absolutely they do. Yes. They feel much better about life. And they got projects going on. I said, stop focusing on the TV and get out and live life.
How much community service are you doing? How much volunteering are you doing? How much are you helping somebody out in need? You put your time into that, you're going to go away feeling one hell of a lot better than you are when watching an hour of the news.
Yeah, you just waste, if you watch an hour of the news, you just wasted an hour of your life.
Well, you've done, you've put your stress level up, you know,
your blood pressure,
everything about your blood pressure. And now you need to go to the doctor and get onto the medicines, and the pharmaceutical companies are all very happy about that. So it's like somewhere along, I have another show called Your Health is Your Choice. And you really, yes, it is. Your mental health, your physical health, your well-beingness is your choice. It's not just the food you put in you or the exercise. It's what you watch. It's how you participate. And it is what you feed. Again, what you feed will grow. You feed the hate and the discord and the distrust and the this, you're going to have disease, right? And if you're going to feed the possibilities, the love, the compassion, the being there for one another, we can weather any storm when we're together. With God's will, we can weather every storm.
Yeah. With you, where this conversation really is all about being healthy, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally.
Yes.
People ask me all the time about the end times and how should we prepare. We have a whole chapter. I said, you know, recently in the pandemic, you went early on to the stores, you couldn't find anything, right? Mm-hmm. I said, well, what about just every little day, every day, every week, just stock up some things that you need in the future. You don't have to hoard it, but right. Just stock up and you'll be prepared physically. So we have a whole checklist of things to get for you to be, so you can help people, not just yourself, who may be going through some very difficult times in the future, because it's going to happen again and again and again. It's not just one time. So we have to be prepared.
Yeah. You know, my mom was, in the war. My father was a squadron leader. He died at 45. Post-traumatic stress led to heart attacks and things like this, because it was suck it up, don't talk about it, you know, and eventually it ate out at him. But my mom would always have a larder full. And it was always, you know, the in case, because they've been through the phantom of war. They've been through, you know, not knowing, you know, whether, you know, if it's going to ever happen again, and it stays with you. And you've been out there at war. You know what lack is. When you know what lack is, then you know how to prevent that. Like, I'm just going to put that aside just in case. Now, it's not, you know, people, oh, that's a negative point of view. No, it's called preparation. Because you said, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I very much believe in feeding the love and feeding the possibilities. But I'm also a realist and understanding we've got a long way to go. So if I want to keep out there bringing people who have got the solutions and bringing the love and trying to elevate us into a higher vibration, a higher level of love and God, then we need to make sure that we have the preparation in order to do that. And it's like, it's not being doomsday to be prepared. Now, it doesn't mean stock up on guns. Please. Because all you're going to do is just shoot everybody. I mean, you know, you watch things, you know, like Walking Dead or in this and that and that. Any Armageddon movie, what's the first thing that happens? There's so few people left in the world. And what do other people do? Take out the rest of the people. Right? You know, you're survivalists. You've just survived this. Why can't you come together to rebuild?
Yeah, unfortunately, the other side of that story is also true, because when you go to war without guns, you're not going to win. No. So,
let's not feed the war mentality and feed the survival mentality of how. Yeah. And we, one thing I think we've learned through all of this, in pandemic isolation, is how much we really need each other. How much we have in common with each other, how much we need to work together to move forward in life. And if we haven't got that through our thick skulls yet, we've really got a long way to go. But we have seen a huge trend moving that way, where we understand we need to reach out. If I have more, I need to share with those that have less. And it's not a handout, it's a hand up.
Right. No, this is a good conversation. So there's so many things to talk about. We talk about in our book, I know we're probably going to run out of time, but we can, Checklist. We actually have a whole chapter on checklists. You know, in World War II, B-17 bombers could not fly. They kept crashing in the experimental stage. And some engineer came up with the idea, well, let's have a checklist. And this is the first time pilots started using a checklist to get their, you know, planes off the air. Without the checklist, they could not fly the B-17 bomber. And so we find out in our lives that having a checklist, mm-hmm. not just for groceries,
right.
or not just for everyday kinds of things, but you can have a checklist for things that are important for you to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we don't write things down, we don't do them.
True.
So it's important that we do write the important things down we want to get accomplished. Because I'll tell you a secret, what I have found in my own life, and many people have found true, that if you don't write it down, normally it doesn't get done. So, you know, we encourage people, write a diary, write a checklist, write a blog every day that's what is important to you in life, you know, and then check it off and say, hey, I accomplished.
Yes.
If you're going to accomplish a few things every day, it makes you feel good about yourself and the environment around you. So that's one other piece.
Well, you know, writing your diary or writing a blog or, you know, reading it back, you know, you just write it. Don't think about it. Just do it and then read it back. And you go, oh, gosh, you know, I just really didn't know that bothered me so much. Or I really didn't know that that elevated me, or I didn't know this. It is your reflection speaking back at you. It's your conscious speaking back at you, and it can be your best friend.
Yes.
Right? And so it's, there are always tools, you know, and your intention behind things. We do things with good intentions that go wrong. All right. And it's like, well, that checklist for that intention, why do I intend to do this? Who is going to benefit from it? Is it an ego-driven thing, or is it, you know, something that you really, it's your calling, it's your passion, it's your meaningful purpose? We've got, are we looking for approval? Because then that's an insecurity within ourselves, right? When we give, the receiving is knowing it's going to help someone. It's not even the thank you, because half the time you don't get that. You give because you know it's making a difference to someone's life, and that's a big enough gift for you.
It's so healthy to give.
Yeah.
The joys I ever had in my life is giving something to someone else, not receive something that's meaningful to someone that needs help. And boy, I'll tell you, that really is a benefit to your own psyche, your mental status.
You literally, your heart and soul glows, doesn't it? It really does. It just, okay, I've stepped into my meaningful purpose and it's had a result. So, and that's, you know, we all want to know that we count. We all want to know that we're here for a reason and we're not just ignored, you know, that we're not just a blob digging holes. So we don't always get the thank you or the gratitude or see the results, but knowing that there is going to be some results from it is enough. And it just really does. It warms your heart and it makes you feel when you go to bed at night, I've contributed today. And that's really what we're asking people to do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, how do people get hold of the book? Where do they get hold of it? And how do they get hold of you?
Well, the book is anywhere books are sold. We point people to Amazon, Books a Million, anything, any place that you can get on the internet. Our book is sold in Kindle, Audible editions, and written, so it can get, and me, you can get me on my website, davidjgiamona.com.
Will you spell that out for the people that are listening, please?
Yeah, of course, they know David J. Giamona is G-I-A-M-M-O-N-A. And if you want to email me, it's giammonadj@hotmail.com.
Excellent.
Get me directly. That's my personal email. You now have it.
Wonderful. You know, we do need that shakeup. And, you know, this book is a shakeup, but it's also a preparation. You know, the shakeup and the wake up and the step up, what you've done is, hey, this is happening, wake up. But this is how you change it up. This is how you stand up. So you've not just given a fear tactic. You've gone, this is a realization. This isn't going anywhere. This is what we need to prepare for, but this is how you do it.
Yeah, we give people a lot of hope in the book. People who bury their heads in the sand and don't want to know what's going on, really, that's the most dangerous thing you can do. So the best thing to do is be informed, be prepared, be ready, and, you know, live your life according to the assignment God has given you. And, you know, things will work out eventually in the big picture.
And don't forget to be connected. Your divine source will always speak to you. When a soul, God's soul cannot speak through a closed heart. Open up your heart. When you receive that divine wisdom, your heart knows what to do with it. It's clarity. It will give it to your spirit interaction, and your mind will know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. I always say to people, get out of your head. That's filled with so much data that half the time is useless. When it comes from the heart and soul, that beautiful wisdom, you can feel it. Like your entire heart and stomach and everything feels it. And then that mind information comes down to what to do with it, because this is knowledge up here. It's mechanical and knowledge. You want the wisdom to know what to do with the knowledge. And that comes through God to you, through you, to know what to do with it. So please be tapped in, open up, let God in. Thank you so much, David. It's been wonderful having you here today.
It's been my pleasure. God bless you. Thanks for having me today.
My pleasure too. Remember, folks, we are a part of the problem. We are also a part of the solution. And if we let God in, we are not alone. We're guided, but we really do need to step up. And this book can help you guide your way. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You will hear many, many shows here at selfdiscoverymedia.com. We have new shows for you out every week. Just find them on our podcast or What's New. If you feel that you have something to share that makes a difference in the lives of others, or you too feel that you could be a host, please contact me at info@selfdiscoverymedia.com, and we will be glad to speak with you. Have a wonderful day.